We're so glad to see you today. Thank you for being here. For those of you who are in your room, a special welcome to you. For those of you who are joining us online, welcome to you as well. By the way, you may not be aware of this, but last Sunday we had 202 people watching us on Facebook Live. So we've got a little bit of things going on there, so thanks for joining us there as well. Now, Wednesday, we celebrate this nation's 272nd birthday. So be aware of the fact that there is no sound issues on Wednesday because there's no meeting on Wednesday. And so just be aware of that. Now, over the last several weeks, mainstream media as well as social media have been posting opinionated columns, opinionated editorials, op-eds they're called, about how evangelicals support Donald Trump, persist in supporting Donald Trump. And in our own denomination, our new president said that it's time that the denomination unhitched itself from any particular party. Now, while I hate to sound political in any of my messages, I think that the growing divide in this country, it's time to remind us, particularly for those of us who are Christians, it is time to remind ourselves about our responsibilities, not our rights. We love to talk about rights. It's my right. I have the right to. Man, we love that. We talk less about responsibility. We want all the opportunities we can get. We don't want any obligation for anything we have. As a matter of fact, most of us live by this philosophy. You ready for this? If I disagree with something, I can disregard it. If I disagree with something, I can disregard it. And what we do is we evaluate things rule by rule. And we think, you know, if I don't agree with that person, that particular rule, if I think that rule is stupid, I don't have to follow it. We're going to see this in play beginning today with the new Georgia law that says hands-free driving, right? So instead of seeing people going down the road doing this on their phones, they're going to be doing this. Because they think, you know, hey, my life, my right, they can't tell me what to do. Now, we love authority. I don't know what's going on with the microphone, but we love authority, and when authority supports us, but when the authority goes against what I want or what I see, we feel free to disregard. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. So when we disregard it, we also do it many times without a twinge of conscience, don't we do it? I mean, now, the message today, I'm just telling you right now, it's controversial. It will be emotionally charged. And if you follow the current trends of our culture, as soon as I say something you disagree with, you know what you're going to do? You're going to tune out. You're going to tune out. As a matter of fact, what you're going to do is this. You're going to say, if I disagree with something, I can disregard it. What you're going to say is this. I disagree with him, so I can disregard what he has to say. And in fact, this message may cause some of you to say, you know, it's time for me to find a new church to go to. I need to find some place where they agree with my particular point of view. I'm not going to go there. So let me say right up front, I want you to understand something. This is not a political message. We are not talking about a political issue. We are discussing today a spiritual issue. We are not discussing a political issue. We are discussing a spiritual issue. And if you take it as a political issue, you'll misunderstand my point entirely. And if you're a Christian, you will have missed your God-given responsibility in this area. Now, if you're not a Christian, the only way you're going to be able to understand this is to understand it as politically, because if we as Christians believe that the Bible is God's word, if you don't believe that, here's what the scripture says. It says that a person who doesn't have the Spirit of God living in them, so if you're not a believer, you don't have God's Holy Spirit living in you. And if you are a believer, God's Holy Spirit lives in you. It's not a second thing that happens later. But If you don't have God's Holy Spirit living in you, the scripture tells us you can't understand the things of God. So this is going to sound, you know, that's just political. That's all that was. That's the only way that you'll be able to understand it. But I want you to understand, I am not talking, particularly for those of you who are Christians, I am not talking about political issues here this morning. I am talking about a very serious spiritual issue. Please understand that. Your views are your views. You have a right to your views. But if you name the name of Christ as your Savior, we have a much higher standard than just our views. We have a much higher calling. So here's the question. This is the one that may get you to, you know, say, well, time to turn that one off. Do I support Donald Trump? Evangelicals, you know, were being accused of supporting Donald Trump and persisting in supporting Donald Trump. Do I support Donald Trump? As a follower of Jesus Christ, I have no choice in this matter. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have no choice. You have no choice in this matter. Do I support the president? Yes, I support him. Just as I have supported every president that has been in my lifetime. And just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, this may surprise some of you. This is kind of the president in my life, in my adult lifetime. Now, since I'm in hot water already, if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a Christian, while you have a right to your personal opinion, that personal opinion does not give you a right as a Christ follower to trash or disrespect any sitting leader anywhere. Scripture, if you believe the Bible, and I do, is very clear on this. All of you must yield to the government rulers. No one rules unless God has given him the power to rule. And no one rules without that power from God. So, those who are against the government are really against what God has commanded. Those who are against the government are against what God has commanded, and they will bring punishment on themselves. Now, I get it. We Christians, we love to look for the loopholes, don't we? Wait, Pastor. Wait. You, that can't be right. I mean, what about Adolf Hitler? What about Nazi Germany? Pastor, you know, we wouldn't be celebrating 272 years of freedom this Wednesday if we didn't do something. I mean, you know, we had to do this. We'd still be under England if we believe this. Come on, we look for the loophole. You know, if we followed this thinking, there would have never been an American Revolution. And we go on and on and on and on with the loopholes and looking for the excuses. And the author of Psalm 75 reminds us this: it is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. If God wanted Hillary Clinton in office, guess who would have been in office? He decides who will rise and who will fall. God decides, not you, not me. Stop trying to do his work for him. You are in rebellion, not against the sitting leaders. You are in rebellion against God. Daniel reminds us, God controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. Again, let me be clear. That's God's job, not mine, not yours. And if you are a believer, if you're a believer, you are required to yield. You are required to yield to those who rule the land. Can you give me water? If you're not a believer, you still have the responsibility to yield. Thank you. You still have the responsibility to yield. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said all or everyone must yield. God will choose to use who he wants to use, perhaps other governments, to remove some government from office, a corrupted regime from office. In 1776, he rose up, listen to this, he rose up the government of the colonies, not the church, not his people, but the government of the colonies to oppose the government of England. God did it. In World War I and World War II, he rose up other governments to dispose of other people from leadership. If you read your Old Testament, it's a whole history of how God uses various governments to remove other governments from power. Read the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. This is one of my favorite books. It's a short book, only 3 chapters, so you can read it. Okay? 3 chapters. Habakkuk is really upset. Don't read it now. Habakkuk is really upset. Okay? And he's really upset because his country has become corrupt. His leaderships are corrupt. The people are corrupt. The judges are corrupt. And he's really upset. No one is doing right. He complains to God about it. God says, you know what? I see it. And I got it. And here's what I'm doing. I'm bringing Babylon into Judah to take over. Now all of a sudden Habakkuk has a real problem because Babylon is a whole lot worse than Judah ever was. So he complains again. God, that's not fair. It's not fair. It's not right. You can't do that. And the book of Habakkuk is how God answers him. And I'm not going to give you a spoiler alert. Read it. It's a great book, especially read the end. When he comes down to the end and he has this marvelous insight of how much we can trust God even when we can't see what he is doing. The point of the whole book, though, is this, that God will use who he pleases to use, and seldom, seldom, when it comes to world powers, is it an individual. The only exception that we see to that in the Old Testament might be Moses. But understand, this is very important. Moses is the exception, not the rule. In every other case, what we see is we see God working in and through the ruling powers and the government to get his will done. In Babylon, Habakkuk's upset that Babylon's coming to take over. One of the rulers that comes up in Babylon is a kid named Daniel. Daniel works from within the government for the right ends, even that corrupt government. Jeremiah, his people, Babylon's coming. Don't fight them. This is God's judgment. Don't you dare raise a fist and try to oppose what God is doing. You're going to get in trouble. In the New Testament, Paul is in prison. He's waiting for a trial that could decide his fate. It's a life sentence, basically. He's about to lose his life. And Paul in prison, facing this, says this, pray, pray, especially for rulers and their governments, to rule well so that we can quietly go about our business of living simply and with proper conduct, with proper behavior. He doesn't say pray against the government. He says pray for them. Now, for those who don't like the Apostle Paul, and there are people out there who do that because, you know, you're going to see why in just a minute. But there are people who don't like what Paul has to say. The Apostle Peter says this, Make the master, that's Jesus, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think that you're a danger to society. Now, this was very important in Peter's day, because the Christians in Peter's day, they were being told that, you know, these people, they're going to destroy Rome. We need to get them. They go against everything that we want to do. And we have that today, don't we? You can't have that view. That's a Christian view. That's a wrong view. So we have that today. It's God's will that by doing good you might cure the ignorance of fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Now, let me remind you that when Paul writes and Peter writes, the guy who was on the throne in Rome was Nero. Nero and Christians were not a good mix. Nero hated Christians. As a matter of fact, Nero's the one that brought up Trump charges against them for burning Rome and started the whole empire persecuting them in one of the biggest persecutions they faced. But in light of that, neither Peter nor Paul says, form a resistance, get an underground going. Oppose these wicked leaders of Rome. Start with Nero. He's in charge, and get him out of office. They're all a bunch of losers. Protest. Get rid of them all. No. Instead, Paul, and if you're a Christian and you believe what Paul writes in Romans 13 was not his opinions, but rather God's instructions to us through the apostle, with that understanding, Paul says everyone must submit to authority. That's a great way to emphasize stuff, isn't it? Everyone must submit to the governing authorities. Now, this is a principle that applies to everyone, whether or not you're a believer. You don't have to be a believer. He says everyone must do that. And by the way, guess what? You're everyone, and I'm everyone. Everyone. Paul doesn't say Christians have to submit to the governing authorities. This principle is for everyone. He doesn't say everyone must submit to the governing authorities if they support your views. He doesn't say everyone should evaluate the rules and decide which ones they think are just rules and which ones they think are unjust rules. And if you think it's an unjust rule, you don't have to submit. He doesn't say that. Neither did he say, if you think it's fair, you get to submit. He says, everyone must submit to the governing authorities. And again, I remind you, everyone, there's not one person sitting in this room or watching on Facebook who is not a part of that everyone. Now, why do we do that? Well, he answers that. For everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So, anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God instituted. And they will be punished. This is a spiritual issue. It is not a political issue. Again, when you think about who is on the throne in Rome, when Paul writes these words, you might be thinking just like the Christians of Rome were thinking, Paul, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, Nero's on the throne. He's a bad guy. He's kind of crazy. He's a nut. Paul, are you trying to tell us that Nero is God's nut? That he still has control over this nut? Paul's clear. God works through human authorities, whether they're good authorities or whether they're bad authorities. He works through human authorities, whether we agree with them or whether we disagree with them. In fact, if there is a person in leadership anywhere in this world, they are there because God has placed them there for a purpose. That includes the president of North Korea. And if you rebel against human authority, he says, you're rebelling against God. You're rebelling against God. Now, you can argue with that all you want, but if you do, I want you just to be aware of this. You're not arguing with me, and you're not arguing with Paul. You are arguing with God. And whether you believe that or not, and whether you like it or not, God works through human authorities. And you know why some of you are having a hard time in your Christian life? You say, you know, I just try as I might. I just can't seem to get close to God. You know why? You can't get close to God while you're ignoring the authorities he's placed over you. We can't get close to God while we're ignoring the authorities he has placed over us. I learned this as a teenager. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But I learned that when I resisted the rulers God placed over me, and as a teenager, that would have been my mom and dad primarily. When I resisted them, I would have been resisting God. Come on. Some of you are sitting there and you say, oh yeah, but what, wait. And you're looking, you're dying to bring up, you know, this, hey, this is a loophole. What do you do with this one? I'll talk to you about that at the end of the service, okay? What do you do about this one? You're arguing. What about unjust laws? You're arguing. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Wasn't it Peter who said we ought to obey God rather than men? There's that one, right, Pastor? I mean, you think about it. Now, here's the thing. When an authority abuses their authority, you appeal to a higher power, but you still have to stay under the authority. When an authority abuses their authority, you appeal to a higher power, but you submit to the authority. If you live with the lie that if you disagree, you can disregard, when it comes to God and the Bible, you'll do it there too. That's what we call a loophole. Oh God, I agree with that, but you know, I don't like that one. I mean, I know that it says, you know, in the Old Testament, this is a sin, but we don't believe that anymore. It's just an alternative lifestyle. It's not a sin anymore. I mean, you know, this is the 21st century. If you live with the lie that if you disagree, you can disregard when it comes to the Bible, you'll do the same thing. You'll do the same thing. And if you can't find a loophole, guess what? You'll make a loophole. You'll find, well, it doesn't really say that. I mean, you have to understand the Greek language, or you have to understand what it really meant was this. I don't know what it is. I'm trying to get it locked in so that it's not doing that, but it's still, I know about touching it, okay? But I'm trying to get it locked in. Thank you. If you look for a loophole, you're going to find the loophole. You will pick and choose verses and examples that support your belief. And if you disagree, you're going to disregard. Voice your opinions, yes. Work for the changes that you feel necessary, yes. Use your right to vote, that's coming up for us. Use your right to vote. But if you call yourself a Christian, please start following the instructions of the one you claim that you follow. Hold your opinions, but hold your tongue as well. Pray for your leaders, whether you agree with them or disagree with them. I mean, come on, remember, the Lord controls the mind of the king as easily as he directs the course of a stream. you will do more to change the course of history by talking to God about your concerns than you will by venting on social media. I think the scripture is plain. Anyone who rebels against authority rebels against God. Anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against God. And I don't care if you disagree. You can disagree if you want, but you can't disregard. Let me give you a personal example of this. When I was 17, I got to work at a camp for troubled young people. Actually, it was a youth guidance camp. It was called a camp for kids in trouble or kids headed for trouble. And it was a Christian camp. And we saw God do marvelous things. And this was my first time in ministry, really, that I got to see. It was a little bit of stuff that I was doing, but working all summer. And I got to see God work in marvelous ways. And that was between my junior and senior year in high school. And in my senior year in high school, I wanted to go back to camp and I wanted to work again because it was so amazing. And I was 18 years old and I told my dad what my plans were. I said, you know, I'm going back to youth guidance camp. I got the application. I'm going to be a senior counselor this year and, you know, it's going to be great. And my dad said, no, you're not. I said, what do you mean, no, I'm not? He said, you're going to work for me in the factory. You get to come and work for me because you have a college tuition to pay. So you have to work for me. Now, he and I had a discussion about it. You know, it was not a good discussion. I wasn't a good example at that point. I told him he was unspiritual. I told him that, you know, Dad, I said, you know, you're thinking about worldly things. God will provide for my tuition. I mean, we're talking about, I get to go to camp and I get to lead people to an eternal destiny and you want me to come and pack boxes? Oh, I wish it had been that. Well, I tell you what happened. And I argued with my dad that God would rather have me win people to Christ than pack those boxes. And you know what? My dad was unmoved. He was unmoved. And the decision was made. He'd already made up his mind. There was no talking to him, and I was upset about it. But I believed at 18 years old that if I rebelled against my father, I was rebelling against God. So what I did was I talked to God about it, and I submitted to my dad. And so from January to May, I got to work with my dad, and I got to tell you something. I am not kidding you. I wish I had been packing boxes. My dad gave me the dirtiest job in that place that he could find. Over and over and over again. Early on, he sent me down to the basement. This was a city block long building. They had been collecting garbage in the basement for decades. I mean, it was piled to the ceiling, and the ceilings were about as high as over there. This garbage was piled to the ceilings. Things were, not one light worked in the place. And you know there had to be rats in there. So the first thing I had to do is I had to replace all of the lights so I could see what was going on. And then I could see the garbage mounds that I had to climb in order to take them and throw them out. I got it done. Took me a couple of months. I got it done. And, I was kind of proud of it. Now it kind of looked organized. You could use the space. It was used. My dad was really happy about it. And then he told me, he said, there's that old boiler that used to heat the whole building, and we need to get rid of it. So your job is to tear it apart and take it up to the loading dock where we can cart it away. Well, if you've ever done any work with an old boiler that had been used for decades, it's dirty. It's messy. It was 16-hour day pulling that thing apart and carrying up to the loading dock. But I got it done, and I was kind of proud about it. And the next Saturday, I went back to work because I was in school during the week. And next Saturday, I went back to work, and my dad met me, and he said, he came with me, but when we got to work, he said, the company changed their mind about getting rid of the old boiler. They want you to put it back. 16-hour day. Put it back. Next Saturday. Coming to change your mind. They want you to take it out. Put it back up on the loading dock. Three times. Third time, I said to my dad, I said, make up your mind. He said, this is an exact quote. He said, who's the boss? I said, you are. He said, put it back. I put it back. Four times, I tore that thing apart and put it back. The week before camp came, I was pretty discouraged. I was tired of doing all this dirty work. I had been praying for God to change my dad's heart, to change his mind, and it wasn't happening. And I'm on my way back in to work with him one Saturday, those prayers going unanswered. This Saturday was a little different. We stopped for donuts and coffee. We always stop for donuts and coffee on the way in. 5:30 in the morning was usually when we hit the donut shop. Stopped for donuts and coffee. And while we were waiting for the donuts and coffee, and you just have to know my dad to understand what's going on, because it's not him. He turns to me and he says this, John, I have been unselfish. I have been selfish in demanding that you work for me in the factory. I want you to go to camp. You know what I did? I argued with him. Dad, no, I'm kind of working with you now. I've got it, a groove going, and he said, no. The discussion was over once again. You're going back to camp. So I called the camp up, and I talked to a guy by the name of Walt Leeper, who I love Walt Leeper. I really trusted, kind of a spiritual leader for me. And I called Walt up and I said, here's what my dad said. And Walt said, well, he said, John, he said, we can use you at camp. He said, but the problem is we only have a junior counselor position open. So that you understand what this means, okay, here's a kid getting ready to go to college. A junior counselor paid $200 for June, July, and August. That was before taxes. After taxes, it was a lot less. Okay. I told my dad, I figured he'd say, now you got to come work with me, Joe. And he said, no. He said, go to camp. Take the job. Couldn't believe it. So I accepted the job. But I told Walt what my problem was. I said, I need more money because I got to go to college. And Walt said this. He said, look, he said, I promise you this. He said, we'll pay you the junior counselor salary. But if you will come, I will promise you personally that you will get $300 more. Senior counselor with $500 for it. And that will help you. Told my dad said, take the job. Took the job. Got the $186 by the end of the summer. Time for me to pay my University of Pittsburgh tuition. I did not have all of the money that I needed. I still had some money to go, and it wasn't there. And I'm kind of worried about it, and while I'm thinking about it and praying about it, a knock comes to the front door, and I go, and there's Walt Leeper with a check for $300, the exact amount that I needed to go to college that semester. I was elated. I took the check in. My dad was in the bathroom shaving. And I went in and I said, Dad, look. And my dad stopped shaving. And he turned to me and he said this. He said, John, he said, I tell you the truth. I never thought you would see that money. He said, but I've been watching your faith. So you put that money in the bank. I'm paying your tuition. Okay. I learned later from my mom that my dad was testing me. When he found out I wanted to go to ministry, he thought it was because I was trying to get out of work. Everybody knows that pastors only work on Sundays, right? And only an hour, unless you have two services, then it's 2 hours, so okay. So he was afraid I didn't work, so he wouldn't find out if I knew how to work. So he was giving me the dirtiest jobs he could give me. And I was working, not for my dad, I was working, the Bible says that we as Christians are to do our work as unto the Lord. And I was doing my work as unto the Lord. And my dad was taking note of all this. And then I found out something else. I found out the reason he was giving me all those jobs and putting me down in the basement and all of the abandoned areas of the building that needed to be cleaned up was because the company was laying off people and he was protecting me, keeping me out of sight. God knows what he's doing. Now, I could have rebelled against my dad. I could have. I could have said, you know, Dad, I'm 18. You can't tell me what to do. I could have said, Dad, I ought to obey God rather than man, and you're just a man. God, Dad, you know, it's more important that I win souls than clean up garbage. I didn't even know I was going to be cleaning up garbage. But it's more important that I do that. And I could have sounded really spiritual, but I would have been spiritually sounding rebelling against God. Because I was rebelling against the authority. I would have been rebelling against the authority over me. I did not do that. And to this day, my dad's been dead a long time. To this day, I am glad that I did not do that. Because I learned some very valuable lessons in obeying God. If you live with the lie, if I disagree, I can disregard, you will do the same thing when it comes to God. In the Bible, you'll find the loophole. You'll think rebellion is freedom. Good example of this is found in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. David is anointed by Samuel, who's the prophet and last judge of Israel. He's anointed by Samuel as king of Israel. David, you're going to be the new king. God has chosen you. But David's problem was, even though he was anointed king, there was a king sitting on the throne by the name of Saul. Saul was having some problems. He was having some mental issues. He was having a mental breakdown, basically. He was showing increasingly that he wasn't fit to rule. And Samuel says, David, you're the man. You're God's man. And for 13 years, Saul pursued David, trying to kill him. 13 years after God says, you're the man. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have been tempted to help out God. And as a matter of fact, there came two occasions where that actually came about in David's life. One time, he was hiding in a cave. And he was way back in the dark, and Saul couldn't see him. Saul came in to take care of some business. And his men said, David, this is the opportunity. You're God's chosen man. You're God's anointed. Look, God has delivered Saul into your hand. Sneak up on him and kill him. This is the right thing to do. Look what God has done. He's given you this opportunity. You're rightfully the king. As long as Saul is on the throne, you're not going to follow the rightful course that you know God told you to do. Go do it. So David sneaks up on him, but at the last minute he has a change of heart. Instead, he cuts off a piece of Saul's cloak. And, you know, when Saul goes out, he doesn't even know David had been there. David goes back to the men, and he said to his men, God forbid that I should have done that to my master, even cutting off the hem of his garment. God forbid that I should have done that to my master. God's anointed that I should so much have raised a finger against him, because he is God's anointed. Another time, Saul continues to pursue David, even though he said, you know, I won't pursue you anymore. After he realizes what could have happened to him, he continues to pursue David. David sneaks down along with a guy by the name of Abishai into the camp of Saul. Abishai is one of his special force troop guys. And they sneak down in the camp. They get past all of the guards. They get to the place where Saul is sleeping. The spear is in the ground by his head, and there's a water jug by his head as well. And Abishai says, David, this is the chance. This is what God spoke about. This is what Samuel spoke about. Now's your chance to seize the power and become the king. God has delivered him to your hand. Now, David, I know what happened the last time, and I know that you didn't want to kill him. So guess what, David? I'll do the dirty work. I'm happy to do this for you. Happy to do this for you. I'll just pin him right where he is, and it'll be over. You'll be exactly where God wants you to be. I mean, it looks so perfect. But David says, no, don't kill him. For who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday, or he'll die in battle, or maybe of old age. In other words, when the time's right, God will remove him from power. But the Lord forbid that I should kill the one that he has anointed. Now, most of us are more like Abishai than we are like David. But if you want the blessings of God, you have to be obedient to God. You have to develop the heart of David, not the heart of Abishai. We can disagree, but we can't disregard. You cannot get close to God if you're ignoring the authorities he's placed over you. No excuses, no loopholes. The real question here is, are you going to submit and trust God, or are you going to rebel and try to take matters into your own hands? But. Do you want to see real change in this country? Why don't you try praying for President Trump instead of pouncing on him? Why don't you try praying for your national leaders instead of pouncing on them, for your local leaders? Try developing the heart of David, who trusted God with his future, rather than the heart of Abishai, who trusted himself and the circumstances he found himself in, thinking that they had presented him, this is a gift of God, we can do this. So, no excuses. No excuses. No what ifs. No loopholes. Rebelling against God's established authorities is rebellion against God himself, and there will be a penalty that you have to pay. Now, what do you think would happen in this country if we Christians really took seriously what we claim to believe? What if we took it seriously and started acting that way? Instead of trashing Trump, if we prayed for Trump. And no, this isn't a joke. I'm not kidding. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. You want to change the course of history? Try doing so by talking to the one who directs the course of history. So here's your homework. If you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, this girl, every time you see a news item or read in the newspaper or maybe even see on social media something that really gets your blood boiling, take that as your cue to pray about the situation, to pray for the situation, to pray for the leaders of our land. Don't think if you disagree, you can disregard. Pray. Lift up the situation before your Heavenly Father. Just lift it up before him. Recognize that the way to get close to him is by submitting yourself to the authorities that he has placed in power and trusting him to do the work rather than thinking that it's your job to change the situation. Okay? Now, here's the homework for all of us, even if you're not a Jesus follower. Okay? This is for all of us. Okay? You're probably saying, I disagree with all of that. Okay? So here's your homework. Don't come to me at the end of the service and say, Pastor, what about this? What about this verse? What about this situation? What if? Don't try to make an appointment to do that with me. Because nothing that I said here, whether you believe it or not, nothing I said here was politically motivated. It's not political, it's spiritual. Now, if you think, I don't believe that, that was political from start to finish, you have a more serious spiritual problem than you realize. Maybe the reason you think that is because, you know, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't understand the things of God. Need to check up on yourself. So, in a minute, we're going to see a perfect example of submission. The Son of God, the Son of God, the creator of the universe. The Bible in Colossians tells us nothing was created without him. Nothing exists without him. That creator God became a man, submitting himself to the Father and to corrupt human men who put him on a cross. And because he was willing to submit, God has exalted him to a place above every name, every place. So let me pray for us. David, Myra are going to come and lead us in our invitation. If God is speaking to you and you'd like to respond, you can come to this side and pray and talk with God wherever you, this side, whatever you need to talk about, deal with whatever you need to talk about. If you want someone to pray with you, you can come to this side. Someone who's trained as an encourager will come and pray with you. But if he's speaking, and I think it's full well that we stand up as Christians and realize, you know what? By and large, we have been a group of people living in rebellion. And it's time to stop and to trust. So let me pray for us as individuals. Let me pray for us as Christians. Let me pray for us as a nation. Father, we come to you right now, thanking you for your word, as hard as it is, recognizing that there's no authority anywhere. We're born in a country that you wanted us born in. We were born in the family that you wanted us born into. We have the parents that you wanted us to have because you had a plan, and you have a plan. And Lord, help us to realize that when we take away that authority from our life, we are in effect removing God's hand from our life. Lord, I understand that there are times when there are things we need to deal with, but we appeal to the higher authority, we appeal to you, and we submit to the lower authority. Because in doing so, we believe we're submitting to you. So Lord, I pray once again, as we pray so often here at Gateway, give us the wisdom to know what to do with what we've just heard. And give us the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.